Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Monroe, Michigan, is a wife, mother of three, registered nurse, and an advocate for nursing and hospice programs. She opened the first hospice program in Monroe, Michigan, and is the president of Gabby's Ladder, a bereavement program for children and their families. In 1988, she was Miss America, and in doing so, changed the Miss America platform forever. Her name? Kehlani Rae Rathgoe-Wilson. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now here's Jack.
We're with Kehlani Rae Rathgoe-Wilson, Miss America from 1988, from our own Monroe, Michigan. Kay, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Okay. I had a great childhood. One of my most fondest memories, I have to say, my parents were great teachers, or are great teachers. My daddy passed away in 1999, and I live right next door to my mom right now. But they have always been great teachers for all of us kids. But I have to tell you, one of my greatest memories is leaving at the age of 10. My dad rented a big, huge camper. And he said, you know, I need to show you guys, his children, the United States of America. It's just awesome. And so we traveled. We left a day of summer vacation, the first day of summer vacation, and I had just finished fifth grade, and we jumped into this camper, and we drove all over the western part of the United States. I mean, we were in the Redwood Forest, we were up at Mount Rushmore, and I remember, 110 degrees, sleeping on the beach over in Mexico, and swimming in Salt Lake, and just an amazing, amazing trip, and came back 2 days before school started. I'll never forget that summer. But my parents just taught us a great deal about, learning to appreciate the opportunities that we have, in our country, and learning to appreciate all that there is to offer. And we just, my parents both loved to travel. They were one who just jumped in a car and drove to small towns and big cities and just wanted to taste the flavor and get to meet people of all different backgrounds. And they taught me a lot about respect, and obviously we're a very faith-filled family. But that was probably one of my most fondest memories. I'm the oldest of four children. I have a sister, Kimberly, who's 2 years younger than I am. Our brother, Nick, passed away in 1994 in a sudden tragic car accident. And my brother, Paul, will be 30 next month and is getting ready to get married in May. So, yeah, we're a very close-knit family, and, yeah.
You competed in pageants for 6 years.
Yes.
You actually were in Miss Michigan for 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
First time you came in second runner-up, then the next time first runner-up, before finally winning Miss Michigan in 87. How did you get into the beauty pageants, and why did you keep entering so often?
Well, Jack, when I first, I had never really been involved in pageants at all. I mean, I had studied dance since I was probably 7 years old, and I studied a variety of forms of dance, tap, ballet, jazz. But the one I kept coming back to was the Hawaiian Tahitian. I fell in love with watching the Hawaiian dancers from the islands of Hawaii who were basically performing at a restaurant in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where my grandparents would go and stay during the winter months. And we would go down there and visit with them. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, with my name being Hawaiian, even though I don't really have a Hawaiian descent, I just was fascinated. So that was the one dance that I really invested most of my time. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It brought a lot of smiles to people. And And when I decided to enter pageants, it really came out of the blue. I mean, I had not been involved in the Miss Monroe County pageant. I had never competed in any childhood pageants or teenage pageants. But I had just been accepted to St. Vincent Medical Center School of Nursing, and the bill was $750. And I really did not have the means to pay for it. And when I approached my parents, I remember my dad saying, you know, you need to go to the bank and get a student loan because I can't afford to send you to college. And while we were a middle-class family, my parents really made a great deal of sacrifices in sending their children to parochial schools, St. Mary Academy and Monroe Catholic Central at the time, along with St. Mary Grade School. And my mom didn't have a job at that point, was basically raising Paul, who hadn't been in school yet. But, you know, and then my dad owned and operated his own business down on the east end of Monroe. So he wheeled and dealed in truck and auto parts, and whenever he sold a big part, you know, he paid the bills. And there was no way they could afford to send me to college. So I went to the bank, got a student loan, immediately was approved, and a couple weeks later I open up the newspaper and they're looking for Miss Monroe County contestants. It wouldn't cost anything to enter, but it would, the winner would receive $750, and everyone who chose to compete would receive a little bit of money to help pay for books. And it was all in the form of scholarship. So I decided to try it and surprisingly won the first pageant, received a receipt in the mail like within 2 weeks saying that my first semester at St. Vincent Medical Center School of Nursing had been paid in full by the Miss Monroe pageant. So I started liking this thing, and I thought, wow, this is great. So it helped pay for my education, and besides that, you know, just not just the scholarship, but just the improvement in my communication skills and the techniques that I needed to have in place and being able to communicate with patients and my self-esteem, my self-confidence. And while I didn't, you know, win every pageant, I walked away from each competition feeling like I was stronger and more grounded and more focused as an individual. And my confidence was higher and just, you know, all that. So there were so many things that came with the package of competing in this program. After 6.5 years going up and down, you know, second runner-up, first runner-up, and then not placing, and then winning Miss Michigan, I felt that, to be honest with you, my character, while I learned a lot as Miss America and Miss Michigan, and even Miss Monroe, the times I didn't win the title were the times I really felt that my character grew. And I learned a lot about, you know, it's just, you know, not everyone walks away with a crown or rhinestone tiara. And I actually began competing just for the experience. And when it was all said and done, I really came home with much more than I ever thought that I would.
We're talking to Kehlani Rae Rafko-Wilson. When we come back, we'll ask her about September 19th, 1987, the night she became our 61st Miss America. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Kehlani Rae Rafko-Wilson, who became Miss America, the 1988 Miss America, and in doing so, changed the Miss America platform forever. Kay, can you tell us about the night you became Miss America?
Well, I sure can. I still get chills, Jack. I still get goosebumps, and I still can't believe I look back and think, wow, how that one night just was just so pivotal for my life and the nursing profession, the hospice program, and just incredible. You know, I after competing for 6.5 years in the system itself and finally winning Miss Michigan, I really didn't expect very much going to Atlantic City and was just excited about the opportunity of being there in Atlantic City. Whether I had placed or won anything, I knew that each contestant would walk home with between $3,500 and $4,000 towards her education, which was wonderful because at that point I had a $5,200 student loan, so I was extremely excited. You know, going there, I was very fortunate that all my entire wardrobe was donated. There were tremendous amounts of support throughout the state from businesses and individuals, And, you know, my whole purpose of entering the program was because I needed money for nursing school, and I needed money to pay back my student loans, and eventually would like to open up a hospice program here in my community. And, you know, just thought the awareness would be wonderful, and, of course, the funding would be great. But I really didn't want to invest a lot of money into a wardrobe because it defeated the purpose of even being involved. So I was fortunate that many businesses sponsored Miss Michigan in helping her prepare for Atlantic City. I went into Atlantic City, and I'll never forget, I arrived a couple days earlier than I was asked to, and just to kind of, you know, walk the boardwalk, and there were, of course, some press people, and it was very exciting to be there and get settled, and, of course, Sunday was the orientation, and that was amazing because many of us had talked, sent letters or talked on the phone, the other state representatives, and I had met Miss Kentucky at the Kentuckians of Michigan appearance. So we were all kind of excited, and along with Miss Ohio, and of course I couldn't wait to meet Miss Hawaii. I had never been to Hawaii, and with my dance being a hula, it was kind of exciting to speak with her. But we were there, and I was getting a little nervous because Wednesday was the night of evening gown. And at 4 o'clock, my evening gown arrived in the mail. And they had been working on it for the 4 days while I was in Atlantic City. And it was donated by Brides World in Grand Rapids. And when it arrived, I put it on immediately. I was so excited. It actually was a bridal gown that they had donated. And they basically took off the train and cut the sleeves up and made a sweetheart neckline and made it look into like a mermaid dress, which was very popular back in the late 80s. And I thought, oh, great. So I tried it on. And the first thought was, I can't get it up over my knees. It was so tight around my knees. And, of course, with them trying to fix it while I wasn't there, I then put it up, and I had my hostesses help me. And I remember lifting it over my shoulders and looking in the mirror, and they both kind of looked at me, and we all three looked at each other and said, oh, it's a little too short. And so I bent my knees a little bit, saying, it'll work. And they all laughed, saying, I can't believe this, Kehlani. So I ended up getting on the stage that night and just bent my knees a little bit and just kind of glided across the stage. And if you've ever read any books about Miss America, they talk about the famous Kehlani walk. And I have to chuckle because I'm like, oh, my goodness, it was fortunately because the dress didn't fit me quite as well that I had this glide of a walk across the stage. And everyone thought, oh, my goodness, it's the perfect Miss America walk, and all because of the ill-fitting dress. But my mom was so hysterical afterwards. She about a week later, I called home, and I would touch base with my family at least 3 days a week. And I called back and I said, Mom, and she said, Kehlani, I'm devastated. I said, what's wrong? And she said, honey, we just never thought you were going to win this. And I said, well, I know, isn't it exciting? I'm having so much fun, and I'm meeting people, and it's just great, Mom. And she said, well, yes, but I just feel so bad. She said, you know, if I would have thought you were going to win this, I would have spent more money, invested more money on that cocktail ring that I had you wear. She had spent $9.99 on this little cocktail ring just to kind of add a little splash on my hand while I was on stage in evening gown. And, of course, as soon as my name was announced, the first thing I did was put my hands to my face or my cheeks and get this big wide-eyed look like, are you kidding me? And that was the picture that was taken and went across the wire all over the country and even in parts of the world. And my mom was just still upset about that. And she said, I wish I would have gone at least 25 on a ring. So, but yeah, it was just, it was amazing leading up to that point. And again, just, you know, hearing my name making top 10 was really, that was my goal, was to be able to make top 10 and be able to perform on television for so many of my family, my friends, but especially my patients who couldn't be out in Atlantic City would be able to tune in and watch their nurse. So,
Kehlani Ray Rafkel, what was the biggest thing you learned the year you were Miss America?
You know, that, I have to say, oh my goodness, the biggest lesson. There were many, Jack. There were many lessons that I learned that year, but the one thing that I'm still surprised at, you know, I never said more than 10 words in high school in 4 years. I was very shy, very quiet, and wasn't, you know, the homecoming queen or the most popular girl at school. And I was actually kind of surprised that I could stand up in front of a group of people and speak. I mean, that was my first thought, was all of a sudden I was pushed out in front of 5,000 people at my first appearance, and they said, here's the microphone. Just, you know, if you don't mind, just waste some time out there and visit with the crowd for 10 or 15 minutes. And I really didn't have any public speaking training. And I began sharing my faith and speaking out loud about the things that were important to me and basically a testimony. And that's kind of how I ran my year. But I have to tell you that the greatest lesson probably is the fact that it didn't take a lot of energy to make a difference in someone else's life. I began appreciating the moments that, you know, I could really make a difference. And it wasn't a lot of requirement on my behalf, a lot of energy. It was something, the simple acts in life really would make someone's day, or just being able to reach out and sit down and visit with them and sign an autograph and get a picture. And, gosh, the power behind the title, I learned very quickly how powerful the title of Miss America was and how powerful it could be and the difference you could make being Miss America, even at the age of 24 in this country. And I think those were some of the greatest lessons I learned.
Kehlani Ray, your year-long reign changed the pageant forever. The American Nursing Association said you single-handedly alleviated the national nursing shortage during your reign by speaking out on the need for more nurses. Talk to us tonight about nursing as a career today.
Well, you know, nursing as a career, I'll tell you, nurses, this nursing shortages, we're not, you know, we see those every decade. It's nothing new to us. But the year that I won Miss America was very timely. And little girls will come up and ask me, you know, what did you do? You know, how did you get to be Miss America? You know, did you train? Did you do this? And I've always been able to look back and honestly say that Miss America, there were a lot of wonderful contestants there, and anyone would have been a great Miss America. But for me, this was God's gift to me, and this was His plan for my life. And I really believe that because of the nursing shortage and being the first nurse to be crowned Miss America, God wanted me in that place and in that position to maybe bring other people to help them understand what nursing was and what nursing offered to healthcare, you know, as a whole entity, but also to bring awareness to hospice. You know, it was unintentional on my part, but when I went out there and began traveling, I really just spoke about my love for my profession and working with my patients and the career of nursing, you know, that just a lot of people had no idea what we did. I remember about a month into my reign in the People magazine in the chatter section, it talked about how this year's Miss America will not be remembered for a display in a certain magazine, but will be always be remembered for helping patients to and from a commode. And while I chuckled, I thought, oh, that's the biggest problem. They have no idea what we do. And so I spent that year traveling, educating, and raising awareness, visiting schools, pre-K classes, all the way up through, you know, nursing colleges, and talking to kids about nursing as a lifelong profession. And I didn't realize the impact that I had until ANA told me, you know, wow, you have just done a tremendous job as our spokesperson. The baccalaureate programs had a big drop in enrollment back in 1985, and basically our country felt the shortage in 87 and 88. And here I came along, you know, receiving a wonderful gift as Miss America as a nurse who wasn't leaving nursing, and tried to change that. Nursing today, you know, as it was back then, there's just so many different, you know, I try to tell people about the rewards and the diversity and the flexibility and obviously the personal and professional rewards that nurses have and receive. And today, I think, just like it was back then, there's just so many more demands and placed upon nurses today, and not enough time to go in and do the bedside care that we need for our patients. But nursing today, I don't believe, I mean, has changed other than the increased demands and, of course, less time and all that. But the rewards are still there. And for the most part, most nurses that you talk to say they're in it, obviously, much more than just for the money and for the flexibility and the diversity. But they're in it because they truly love to make a difference in someone else's life.
We're talking to Kehlani Rae Rafkowilson, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Kehlani Rae Rafkowilson, the president of Gabby's Ladder. Kay, can you tell us about Gabby's Ladder?
I sure can. Actually, two nurses who had been working closely with the Mercy Memorial Hospice and the hospice up in Roe that had merged just 2 years before, they had come to me back in the year of 2000 and asked me to assist them. Apparently, they had been receiving a lot of phone calls from people who wanted their children to receive bereavement care after experiencing a sudden tragic loss. And while the children came to our children's groups that were already in place through the Mercy Memorial Hospice program, many of them felt that they just didn't quite fit in the group. And it was mainly from the standpoint that the other children had had an opportunity to anticipate their grief through hospice. They were prepared for the death, and they had a chance to help take care of their loved one or say goodbye to their loved one. And there were a number of individuals in our community that young kids who had witnessed accidents. We went through a period of 6 to 7 months where there were car accidents and teenage suicides, et cetera. And these two women came forward and said, we'd love for you to be our board president and be able to introduce this program that we'd like to create, you know, kind of an extension of the bereavement program through hospice. That would be, the focus would be the sudden unexpected death that children and their families experienced. And I was drawn to it immediately. I had known many people who, and recently a friend of mine who had just lost her son in a car accident, and I was like, oh my goodness, this would be wonderful. So I introduced it to the community and helped the women with grants and all kinds of things like that to find the funding. And the two founders are Ellie Merzak and Jan Baden. And I really was kind of like their PR person. But I just knew that this was going to be something that our community would need. And we were just basically meeting the demands of a community, a grieving community, in a different way than what hospice was doing. So we've been receiving our clients and our children and families who come to us since 2001. And it has just grown so large. We basically offer, I'm currently the co-director with our co-founder, Jan Baden. And in fact, tonight is the start of our spring workshop, but we offer 4 grief recovery workshops for children aged 3 to 18, and they go into age-appropriate groups, and they're split off into 4 different groups. We have professional facilitators from nurses, educators, social workers, counselors who facilitate each of the groups, along with simultaneously the parents or guardians would meet in another room. And we have facilitators for them as well. And it's the groups run an hour, and they run for 7 consecutive weeks. And we do 4 a year. In addition, we have ongoing monthly groups at Gabby's Ladder, and anywhere from survivors of suicide, valley walkers who are our parents and grandparents who have lost teenage children or young adult children. We also have our untimely tears for parents and grandparents who have lost babies up through toddler age. We do a lot of support groups for the Alzheimer's patients, families, and, you know, it's just, there's just been such a great need in our community, and I love my job so much. I've received so many rewards, so it's really wonderful, and we're doing so many great things here with Gabby's Ladder.
One of my goals or dreams in life, Kehlani, is to have dinner at the White House. You've done that. Can you share with us what that's like?
That was amazing. I actually was a big supporter of President Reagan, and when I heard that I would be going to the White House for a state dinner, I was extremely excited. I just thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to the White House, and it was my first visit to the White House, and I was invited, one of about 800 people, and President Reagan and our First Lady Nancy Reagan at the time was, they were entertaining the president and his wife, President Duarte of El Salvador. And I was one of the guests who were invited to sit at his table. There were 8 of us. I sat next to the Assistant Secretary to the Defense, and on my left was Cal Ripken. And right across the table was President Reagan and President Duarte. So it was very, very exciting. I laughed because Cal and I were talking, you know, whispering, and his fiance, who I believe is still his wife, what a neat man he is. He's just this warm and, you can tell, faithful man, and just very genuine. And we were talking about which silverware to use, and just had such a wonderful time. At the end of the dinner, there was this great entertainment and, of course, a mini tour of the White House. And I walked around with my escort, which was provided by the White House staff security, a security staff. And all of a sudden, I was tapped on my shoulder, and I turned around, and of course, it was that time I met Ernest Borgnine and just so many different celebrities who were there as well. But another security staff person came up and had asked me, and asked me, basically, are you the Miss America who's a nurse? And I said, yes. And he said, do you work with cancer patients? And I said, yes. And he said, would you please come with me? And I said, of course. And I walked with him and walked into a room where there were about five people, and there seated on a couch was our First Lady, Nancy Reagan, who motioned for me to sit next to her, and she grabbed my hands and said, it's so nice to meet you, and I have followed you just this last month of you being crowned and all the work you're doing speaking on behalf of nursing and hospice. And I was so moved, thinking, I can't believe that she would know this, as busy as a person as she is. And it was then that we spoke a lot about cancer, about hospice, and my work as a nurse. And I had no idea, but there was a part of me that felt that this was touching her personally. And it was a couple months later, I believe, is when it was brought to the public's attention that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Wow. We're talking to Kehlani Rae Rafkel-Wilson, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Kehlani Rae Rafkel-Wilson, our Miss America from 1988. Kay, just a few months ago, 20 years after you won for Michigan, Kirsten Hagland from Farmington Hills became our 2008 Miss America.
Yes.
Have you talked to her, and what advice did you give her?
Oh, my goodness, Jack, of course I talked to her. I spoke with her within seconds after her first press conference as Miss America. I was torn between going out to Las Vegas and staying back home here with Chuck and the kids. My children's school had a huge open house that weekend, and the kids were like, please, Mom, and they didn't quite understand how important it was for me for 20 years, but I'll tell you, I think I made the right decision, because we had a great spaghetti dinner, and the kids got to show us off their rooms. But I was so upset that I missed that. I had a feeling when I saw her walk on stage in Muskegon as Miss Michigan, I looked over, my mom grabbed my hand and said, she's going to do it. We're going to have another Miss Michigan when Miss America, and it'll be on your 20th anniversary. And my mom has an eye for this kind of stuff. So I was extremely excited. And the three of the very first phone calls I received, I have to tell you, one came from our Miss Monroe County from last year, Melissa Cousineau, who was up watching the program up in the Farmington Hills area with a former Miss Michigan, Madonna. And they called and said, everybody wants to say something. And they screamed in the phone, you're fired. And I kind of chuckled over it. Well, I had to let them go, because immediately my phone was ringing again. And it was Kelly Cash, my predecessor from Tennessee, who crowned me as Miss America. She was Miss America 1987, who just went, say yes to Michigan. And we talked for a few short minutes. And the third phone call I received came from a friend of mine who was out in Atlantic City, who was whispering. And he said, Kehlani, can you believe this? And I said, where are you? And he said, I'm listening to her press conference. And so he handed the phone. He said, someone wants to say hi. And he hands the phone to Art McMaster, our CEO of Miss America, and that's all he says is, "You should have been here." And I'm like, "I know it." And he says, "Wait a minute, there's somebody coming up to me." And he hands the phone, and this is, again, I mean, 10 minutes after she was crowned, hands the phone to Kirsten, who says, "Kehlani," she's like, "Hello?" And I said, "Congratulations, Miss America." And she's like, "Kehlani, I can't believe this." And that's all I had time to say was, "Enjoy it. It's going to go so fast." And if you ever, ever think that it's a burden, I want you to remember all the people who would love to trade shoes with you. And she said, "Thank you." Because, you know, Jack, it is a tough year. And she's 19, and she's just, she's an amazing woman. But the year can be quite tiresome. And when you travel 20,000 miles a month, you know, and you're just going from city to city, you know, it can be. You get a little homesick, and it can be burdensome, you know, a little bit, because it's just, you're working so hard, and the responsibility is so great. I mean, you're representing not just Miss America, the program, but you represent your family, you represent your state, you represent your friends and the people of your age. You become a role model instantaneously, and just, I mean, it's such an amazing gift. But it's a gift that takes a lot of work and a lot of energy to be able to uphold. And I wanted her to know that, you know, no matter what, enjoy every second because it goes fast.
Kay, arguably your whole life has been one of being a giver. Talk to us about giving back in life.
Well, my dad had told me a long time ago, he said, "You know, what you need to do is realize that each of us stand in this middle of this circle, and everyone has expectations of us, you know, and most importantly, our Holy Father. But when you're in the day-to-day life, you're looking around, and, you know, whether it's your parents or whomever, your boss, your friends, your teachers, everybody has expectations of us. And people will look at me and say, what a wonderful year you had as Miss America. You just kept giving that year. When we called upon you and needed you to do something, you never said no. And I tell people, I said, you know, my daddy told me this a long time ago. And the thing that makes someone a success in life is when they go one step beyond what's expected of them, is just to go that extra little step. And my year was like that, and so was nursing for me. And I've learned that when I take the extra step, when I walk in to hang up a bag of chemotherapy in one of my patients' rooms, and I'm running around an hour behind schedule trying to get blood pressures and everything else, it's the moment that I stop and grab a hand and offer a smile and maybe just look like there's nobody else and no other place I want to be than right there listening to that person. And it may not take a lot of time, but that's when I walk out and I feel like I've given. And for Miss America, when I would go into a city to do a fashion show, and for All American Made Clothing, I would arrive someplace and I would immediately say, you know, where's the local hospital? Where's the local high school? Where's the local college, nursing college? I needed to be there to be able to share my message and do more than just the runway walk and the fashion show. And so I think I learned that taking that extra step really made the greatest difference of all. And I should write a book because I've kept a journal, and there's so many wonderful stories of just taking that extra step and how it truly made a difference in so many people's lives, and including mine, Jack. I mean, I received back when I did that. I became fulfilled when I did that. And when I had other former Miss Americas telling me how hard this year would be and that I would be counting off the days till I was back home and having a regular, quote, regular life, taking that extra step helped keep me grounded and focused and helped me realize that this is right where God wanted me to be, and I needed to be able to fulfill what my purpose was in my life that He had given me. And I learned that through Miss America, through nursing, but I learned it most importantly from my parents, who said, never just meet the expectations. Always go one step beyond.
What advice, Miss America, would you give to our young listeners tonight?
You know, the advice I would give to your young listeners is, you know, first of all, I've learned through my nursing experiences and obviously my personal experiences that life is fragile, that our life is a gift from God. And, you know, a friend of mine told me a long time ago that if we would have to introduce ourselves in a way that would explain what we've done with our life, and God knows us before we're even conceived, Jack. I mean, he knows the choices we'll make and the decisions we'll make and the road that we'll travel and all the different experiences that we'll have. I mean, he knows that. But if it when it comes time to enter his kingdom and leave this world behind, when we have fulfilled the purpose that he has planned for us, if we would ever have to introduce ourselves in a way that would explain what we've done, I ask your young listeners to think about what they would say, how they would explain what they've done with their life, and also remind them, you know, young people just feel like, I don't know, that they're invincible. And it's important for them to understand, unless they've experienced a loss of someone, to understand that it really is very short, that life is very fragile, and it's a wonderful gift, and we make the most of our life or our gift by doing for others, and that's how we become fulfilled. My brother, a long time ago, was having issues about, you know, what to do and how to make a difference in someone's life, and he said, I don't know what to do with my life, Kehlani. I want to either be a coach or a teacher or a nurse or a doctor. And I said, Nick, you don't have to be the fireman saving people from burning buildings, and you don't have to be the cardiologist saving people in the surgical room. You have an opportunity to make a difference in the life of everyone you have a chance to meet. So don't miss that chance in making a difference.
Kehlani Leigh, Rafko Wilson, what a life, what a role model. Please keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you, Jack. God bless you.
Our guest next Sunday is a person that changed the face of newscasting, the legendary Bill Bonds. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.